time to move your feet. On the upbeat, so come on and dance with me. Cause life is bitter, life is sweet, and it's got you on the edge of your seat. But you know that life is better, it's always better on the upbeat.
Welcome to On the Upbeat. I'm your host, Matt Vest. And Gary's supposed to introduce himself at this point.
Hi, I'm Gary. I have an ear infection and a sinus infection.
And he hasn't been here in so long, he forgot how to do it.
I forget.
Gary, just remember at the end when I say, and until next week, and then you got to say...
Listen to Backyard Superheroes.
Yep, that's exactly what we're looking for.
Okay, got it.
Got it. Gary, you're in Texas right now. Why are you in Texas?
I'm here for work.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, for work. I'm in Dallas for the week. I had Whataburger for the first time ever today.
Oh, yeah?
It was okay.
Oh, it did not meet the hype is what you're saying?
No, neither did In-N-Out the first time I had it. So I guess it's okay.
Maybe it'll stick with you. Well, it's not just me and Gary here, but we do have members of Chase Long Beach. We have Karen, Joe, and Megan with two A's here with us this week. And welcome! Yay!
What's up?
Yay.
That was the least enthusiastic.
We kind of harmonized a little bit. There was a little bit of harmony there, and I was impressed.
Yeah, you guys harmonize well. That's amazing. Megan, are you still in your car right now? Are you driving? Kind of.
Yeah, just for about 2 more minutes.
Okay, well, I can officially say, at least for those 2 minutes, this is the first time someone's been driving while recording this episode. So this episode promotes bad driving habits.
Matt, should we just wait for Megan to park, and we'll just sit here in silence until she's ready? All
yeah,
right.
And I won't edit
ready,
it out.
Go.
We'll
make let her go into her house and take off her jacket and put down her keys and get ready. We'll wait.
Yes. So welcome, Chase Long Beach. We got a lot to talk about. But first things first, we have to discuss the thing that is raging through the ska community right now. We have to discuss it. We cannot wait any longer. We have to discuss what ice cream flavor is the most ska. That's what we're going to do. We have to discuss which ice cream flavor is the most ska. I'm going to list. Now, I found a list of top 10 ice cream flavors. I'm sure it was voted on by some public. I don't know. I found it from some news. So I think it's like a Fox News affiliate in the middle of, I don't know, nowhere. But I'm going to read to you the top 10, according to this list, flavors. And then we're going to discuss which is the most ska. I'll go through them. Neapolitan. No, that's gross. That's not it. Caramel or caramel, however you want to say it. That doesn't seem very ska. Mint chocolate chip. No, mint is gross. And no.
See, I was going to say mint chocolate chip before you even started giving suggestions.
I was going to say Neapolitan. It's got like all the different colors. It's kind of two-tony. Like, yeah, Neapolitan, I feel, is the right answer.
It's quite literally three Tony, just to
Okay.
It's more ska than ska, actually.
It's more ska than ska. Butter pecan. Why is that on the top of anyone's list? Chocolate chip.
That's it. That's the one.
That's the one.
I mean, that makes sense
right?
color-wise, yeah.
Well, strawberry. And then this is my vote, personally. Cookies and cream, I think, is clearly the most ska. And then chocolate and then vanilla. Those are the top flavors. Yeah. I mean, I was actually surprised Rocky Road didn't make the top 10. I figured that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure glad. What's that other one? We said Neapolitan. That's also one of my least favorites. Sherbert. Also Sherbert. That
yeah,
is
I was
the
like,
gross.
Sherbert.
What you got against Sherbert?
I love Sherbert.
It's old people. You guys are all old, and you're my grandparents. And
It's refreshing in a little tiny bowl on a summer day. Oh, it's so good. It's not coffee ice cream. Thank God it's not coffee ice cream.
Okay, Megan, what say you? Now that you seem to not be actually driving at this moment, what say you?
Not driving. Well, I think that cookies and cream for, you know, the checkerboard, but... like, we have a lot of goofy stuff going on, and frankly, Rainbow Sherbert is super goofy. Also, like, they don't spell sherbet the way we pronounce it, right? It's sherbet.
Yeah,
but here we are adding R's all over the place, like doing whatever we want. So rainbow sherbet, because Scott, we just do whatever what we want. You know, it's that's my well too explained reason.
I'm going to lose. Somehow I'm going to lose to either sherbet or Neapolitan. You guys are like old. What's wrong with you?
What is wrong with Neapolitan? It's all the good flavors.
I don't like strawberry for one, so that's just it.
I have another vote for Neapolitan because it's the only one where we could say Neascolitan.
Oh, yeah, damn it!
Sorry, Matt, you lose.
Because you're right.
Pack it in, guys. Pack
all,
it in.
All the other ones, I cannot turn into a good ska pun. None of cookies
Scanilla.
And Scanilla, maybe. And no.
Yeah. Oh, I feel ashamed.
Scocklet chip.
No, not as good. Rocky. Nope.
I'm going to be thinking of these the rest of the episode, so talk amongst yourself.
Well, so Neascolitan is the de facto winner, unfortunately. I guess I can just eat around the strawberry, I suppose.
That's true.
That's what most people do.
That's true. I mean, I do. So, like, I would go to my dad. He loved Sizzler. And every birthday, Father's Day, that's where he wanted to go. And they, if you know that place at all, they have the ice cream thing. And you can either get chocolate, vanilla, or you can get the swirl. I always got the swirl because those flavors are great together. So I guess sherbet minus strawberry for me, but sherbet for everyone else. Or how did we say it? No, Neascolitan. Neascolitan.
Sherbet's the rainbow one. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, and also tastes like ass.
What the?
Just like Scott.
No one here agrees with you, Matt. No one.
Yeah, I know.
Just like Scott.
Just like Scott.
Yeah, I'm like offended.
On sherbet? Or, yes. Yeah. Well.
Sherbert's so delicious. Offended.
It's not. Yeah, it's not like delicious. It's like tang in an ice cream form to me. It's like,
hell yeah. Yeah. Skang.
Say less.
Skang.
Say less.
Well, I didn't hear a lot of enthusiasm for butter pecan either.
It's not pecan. Yeah.
Butter pecan isn't bad.
Butter. Yeah. Pecan.
I like butter pecan, but I don't feel like it is ska at all.
Once I turn 65, I'll like butter pecan a lot more.
See, that's how I feel about sherbet and Neapolitan. So, though I don't think I'll ever like strawberry, so maybe I'll never like Neapolitan. So, because I feel like if you like Neapolitan, you have to like all three. Otherwise, it's not Neapolitan, right?
Right.
Feels.
Do you like real strawberries?
No, not really. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Because I feel like strawberry artificial flavor is like different a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Though I guess I can handle like kind of like a strawberry shake. I don't know, but still,
which is literally just strawberry ice cream.
It's true. It's true. But it's just not my favorite. But all right. Now that I've made everyone angry. Here's my
time to start the show.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here's some ska news. Let's go.
Rude girls and rude boys too. Grab your friends and listen to what we're telling you. I'm sorry, you might have heard, but again, you're about to miss me in ska news.
Yay, ska news, where we take a few minutes and tell you about some new music coming out. And first up, I want to tell you about Counting Coins. First of all, every time I say this band's name, I have to make sure I'm not saying Counting Crows, because that's what goes in my brain first. On May 3rd, Counting Coins released a new EP called Still Poor. This ska punk hip hop influenced EP from the Counting Crows is streaming everywhere now. But let's listen to a song of theirs called Political Fiction. We'll be right back. like this EP. Like I said, it influences hip-hop and ska punk. So that those are some of my favorite genres right there. So I like it a lot. All right, Gary, what do you have?
Well, you said Counting Crows again when you introduced the song.
I did?
Yes. You did.
I swear I was even looking at it. It says coins. Nope. And
for sure I was like, am I gonna say it or is Gary gonna say it?
One of us is gotta be the asshole. It'll be Karen, so.
But, I'm going to go back and edit it and make it look stupid. Ha ha. No, I'm going to leave
won't.
It.
You never edit.
No, I don't.
Four of the five people on this call are in ska bands, and somebody has to do a ska cover of Mr. Jones. Like, somebody's got to make it happen, right? That song's a bop. But talking about bops, I'm going to talk about the new album by the band Grim Luck that just released their first album in a long time, in 13 years since their last full-length album. That was released as self-titled last week. And I want to play a song that's a good song. I just really like the title a lot. And it's When There's Nothing Left to Do, Just Burn This Fucking Town to the Ground. Or no, Just Set This Fucking Town on Fire.
Well, it's too fucking hot. Could I be fucking drunk? Now this moldy little port is unlike those fine resorts. Here your soul will rot. But it's just too fucking hot. So what do you say, my crew? Is life too mellow for you? Now the queen, she is a whore, and the cousin of a bore, the most boring of taboos. So what do you say, my crew? Now everybody sing along.
I like this song, and I like this album a lot too. I was listening to it earlier today. I didn't know any of their history. Adam, who's not here this week, he mentioned, "Hey, they have new stuff out." I was like, "Okay, I'll check it out." But yeah,
Adam is also the lead singer's name of Counting Crows, and he dated Jennifer Aniston.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm not going to comment on anyone's appearance. But Jennifer Aniston looks like Jennifer Aniston, and the guy who sings in The Counting Crows looks like the guy who sings in The Counting Crows. And I just want you guys to just visualize that.
Are you saying
that's going through
this
my head now?
Are you? Yep. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Someone up their game, I would say.
Someone's a reacher and someone's a settler. Adam Duritz. If you're listening, Adam Duritz, we love you. Come on the show anytime you want. I will guarantee that Counting Crows has played with like Real Big Fish in the 90s at some festival.
Of course they did.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of course 100%. They did.
I bet he loves ska. I
bet he does too. All
I
right.
Bet Mr. Jones does too.
Yeah.
Stupid.
You want me to leave that one in?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I was gonna. All right. Last up, the Skoriginals. On May 10th, the Skoriginals released a new song called Theme Song. This fun, danceable ska track from the Skoriginals is streaming everywhere now, and let's listen to a clip.
Down in the harbor, there's a dinghy in the water. It ain't much, but it don't need to be. We'll untie her and we'll row. We'll take it steady, take it slow as we head out to sea. We'll sit back and drop a line, and we'll waste a little time fishing till the sun goes down. Then we'll make our way to shore, where our friends are waiting for the Skoriginals to come around. Another day in the life. Yeah, we chill out, play and skank all night. Ain't no time for work, just play. That's why everybody say the Skoriginals, they got it right.
I saw this band the other night, and Karen
too.
And Joe, you were
and
there.
And Joe.
I was there as well. Yes.
Yeah, they were an excellent live band. So,
dude, yes,
so good.
And this track is excellent, fun for dancing, and fun for skanking, as they repeatedly told us that night. And it was a good time. And yeah, so check out the Skoriginals and the Counting Coins and Grim Luck. And check out all that Ska News. Also, before we head out of Ska News, first of all, we have a Patreon. You can sign up for Patreon at patreon.com/ontheupbeatska. $4 a month gets you at least 2 bonus episodes a month. Sometimes, most of the time, more. It also gets you access to a private Facebook page and also discounts on merch. And who doesn't love discounts on merch? Also, we have a sister podcast. We Every Song Sucks. Gary and I host that along with Adam. And we break down Real Big Fish songs every week. So they're like 20-minute episodes, and they're really short, really easy to get through. And you can just... more us is basically what I'm saying. We break down Real Big Fish songs. So that's on a whole different stream. You got to search it out. Every Song Sucks, a Real Big Fish podcast. All right, let's talk to Chase Long Beach. All right, so Megan, since this is your first time, we're going to start with a question with you. How did you get to playing the trumpet, and what led to you joining Chase Long Beach?
I was but a wee lass in elementary school, and I had not been faring very well with like team sports or anything that involved hand eye or foot eye or body eye coordination in any way, shape, or form in those years. And I literally like got hipped to some good old Louis Armstrong trumpet jazz from like, I don't know, 1924 or so. And I was like, I want to do that. And my elementary school was not offering instrument lessons. Yeah, just recorder. Recorder only sounds so cool in jazz. Like it, there's this level it can't pass. So they expanded the program. They got someone to come in after school for fourth and fifth graders. I was a fifth grader. I picked trumpet and I never put it down. It resonated with me, and I love playing trumpet. I love playing in horn sections, brass sections, orchestras, all that stuff, any genre, anything. I studied music in college, and when I came home from college, I was kind of burnt out, and I thought I was going to throw the trumpet away and be done, but I was friends with a guy who was in Chase Long Beach that we'd gone to high school together, and I said, well, I'll go and just hang out and see what happens, and that was in 2005. Yeah, 2005, and then I took a brief break for 4 months, like a year later, and came back and have stuck ever since. So
that's you've been stuck ever since? Like stuck in
we're holding her hostage.
So, yeah, I will. I kind of let it slip when that was an accident, so I know the beatings will come later.
Megan, blink twice if you need help.
Oh, I saw it. Don't tell anyone. But yeah, that's awesome. So you guys have kind of been back since let's say like September of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. sort of what was to be just a 20th anniversary show led to just sort of turned into, hey, we're back. Let's do things. I just wanted to know, have you guys, whether it's just sort of locally here in Orange County or just in the broader sense of the ska scene, have you noticed anything change from, from what 2024 ska scene looks like to, what 2005, 2009 ska scene looked like?
You know, it's funny. I think Joe and I actually answered this question the last time we came on the podcast.
I'm a terrible
No,
host.
It's okay. I'm just vain, and I've listened to the episode a couple of times.
Yeah, Karen.
You and me, Gary.
Yeah, run those numbers.
But, so I think we want to let Megan answer that one again, too.
Well, I barely listened to that episode because I'm a horrible person. So I don't even know what Joe and Karen may have said, or at least I don't remember it. I'm sure I listened to it, you guys.
You better give the right answer.
Well, a lot has changed. And I mean it, but it's hard to say that because our reference material, or like our reference selves, were also so much younger, and we have different outlooks and perspectives and experiences that informed everything we did and how we viewed everything. So it feels like it changed a lot, but that's also the 40-year-old in me that's like, get off my lawn and social media. And, you know, I just hate it all and don't know how to do it. And that's why we have younger and smarter people in the group than I. But then the scene is totally different because of that added hustle that everybody has going, where they're just hitting every platform if they're twitching and TikToking and Instagramming. And that's, I guess I'm just complaining about social media now, but that's my answer.
No, I mean, a lot of it makes sense. Obviously, sort of the hustle is different, you know, going from maybe posting a flyer at what college you might have been attending to, or some coffee, coffee houses were sort of a mecca for music at one point. And
I could say something that has changed a lot since when you're referencing Matt, and this is kind of ties into our guest today. I walked into an FYE, a music store, in 2009, and I saw a CD that said, "For fans of Streetlight Manifesto," and
it was
Gravity's What You Make It. I'd never heard the band before. I'm like, I know Streetlight Manifesto. Let me buy this album. And then I bought your CD at a store. I don't think I could do that anymore.
So you were the one.
Yep.
I was the one. Yeah, I was running those numbers so much up for you guys. Yeah, that was me.
Do you guys remember, like, was there a conversation about putting that on your albums? Like, was that
that was a label decision, and I don't want to speak too for sure on it, but I'm pretty sure that Streetlight didn't like that. I think, right?
I don't know.
That sound familiar, Karen? Only say truths. Only say truths.
Yeah, spill the tea. So let's go. Like,
I think it said Streetlight. Did it say Streetlight, Real Big Fish? It said for like, if you like them. There was Streetlight stuck out to me. I don't know who the other band
was. Yeah, they just threw whatever hit the wall. Yeah,
it was the for fans of Streetlight, but like features a solo from Real Big Fish and features Aaron members. Yeah.
Right. But it does say, because I have cases of them still, and we still sell out with the shows in their packaging, by the way.
Oh, fun.
It says they just threw whatever at the wall to make it stick. It was like for Streetlight, Real Big Fish, The Specials, 311, and then Save Ferris. It says all five of them on there. I'm like, Jesus.
I don't know.
But Streetlight, I don't think there was ever any talk about them having a problem with their name being on that. That was a whole other thing where a couple of our songs were put on a separate disc inside of Streetlight's new album, and they said no to that.
Oh.
And the label did it anyway.
Mm. I mean, yeah.
Victory is really cool.
Yeah.
I think I got that too on one of their CDs. There was like a sampler, right? I think I also had that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That wasn't us.
Yeah. That was not us. We did not do that, Streetlight.
Well, yeah. So why do you think specifically, obviously, because there were other bands on that sampler, why did they care that it was you?
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't even care that it was just, I think they didn't like the sampler.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
You guys were such like an anomaly on Victory Records too.
I don't know.
It was just so interesting. I remember Victory Records samplers, and I'm like, oh, heavy music I don't like. Oh, ska bands, cool.
Yep. I would think it was just us and Streetlight, because at the time, you know, Catch had already like disbanded, or, you know, had been the other Catch that was no longer on Victory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they closed not too long after that.
Yep.
Did they have any problems? I hadn't heard about that.
Oh, no.
I haven't heard about that in every social media post Streetlight Manifesto's ever made.
Really? Does it still come up? Like, I don't...
Oh, constantly!
Oh, wow. Because, see, here's the thing. Also, here's the thing about social media. I'm active on it, but I'm active... I usually, like, I post, I'll go through and like stuff, but I don't spend much time reading the, like, deep comments. Like, I want, I'll like something, or maybe I'll make a comment myself of, like, thumbs up, or, like, you know, a little fire emoji to sort of, because I know that, you know, sort of helps the analytics of things, and, you know, but
thank
I don't,
you, Matt. It does.
But I don't, like, I don't try to spend time, you know, in those, like, long conversations, because I've seen a lot of them now. They'll start out, like, what do you guys think of this band? And then it's just like, I'll read a few, but it's like, either they're just like, yeah, it's good, I like it. And then other people have these like long monologues about why they do or don't like them. And I'm just like, first of all, I don't have time. Second, I don't care. So, but yeah. And
internet's a little toxic.
Yeah.
It's breaking news, everyone.
What? Yeah.
But I know. But now that you all have had, you know, you've played several shows, and as we're going to talk about in a little bit, you're putting out a new song. How does it, you know, I guess maybe a funny way to ask this is, are you glad you're back? Does it feel like like you're doing a thing like you missed? Is it still a joy, even though, as we talked about, it's different?
You know, Matt, I'm glad that you bring this up now, because, guys, I've been meaning to talk to you about this. Actually, I'm going to quit. It's not fun anymore.
Damn it.
What about that? Never mind. I was going to – never mind.
Should we announce our new side project, Karen? You and I are starting the Skanking Crows, a counter-skanking event.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Megan are breaking off into Neoskeleton.
Oh, there's gonna be a band name now with that name. Yeah, but like,
honestly, I think that, like, in all seriousness, I have to say personally that I feel like I'm having more fun this time around than we were, at least towards the end of, you know, the Chase Long Beach years back in, you know, the Victory years. And because things just got, like, there was so much pressure and a lot of stress. And it did start to become not fun anymore, you know, and people weren't getting along, and, you know, there was just like clashes, and it wasn't fun. And now I feel like we're just having fun. And of course, like, there's bad days every once in a while, shit happens, but like, we're mostly just having fun, and we're really excited about the new music that we're making.
Yeah, there's definitely more of a casual vibe overall, which I think is, yeah, was super fun.
Yeah. Do you find it's still a joy performing live? Is that still? Because I've had a lot of different people answer this question. Like, some people, they love performing live. Some people don't. Some people love the studio, and some don't. How does that measure for all of you?
I think for me personally, I love the thrill of performing on. I'm like 100% on both of them. Mm-hmm. I love the thrill of performing on stage. It gives me a great high. It's also an incredible low. If I cack a note or I sing off key or mess something up, you know, it really can run the extremes. But that's like that's still the high or the thrill that you get from that. And also being with friends live, you know, we've known each other for such a long time. We know what we're like in the studio and what we're like in the rehearsal studio, but playing with your friends live is such a different vibe, where everyone is down to the nanosecond thinking about what they need to do next together. And I always just love that, because we're also just having a super fun time doing it because of all the rehearsing. But yeah, and then I'm 100% into the studio side of things, because it's just like, all right, let's just do all the crazy shit we want to do, make it sound amazing, and just explore and experiment and use different instruments and all that kind of fun stuff. So that's the creative side that really gets to get its itch scratched.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's tough to choose between the two.
Well, yeah, I guess I wasn't necessarily asking you to necessarily choose, but just sort of, you know, where are you personally with that stuff? Like, you don't have to choose one or the other.
No, totally. I mean, I'm definitely in the same boat. I'm both. The live stuff is a lot of fun, and then the studio stuff is a ton of fun. And this time around, being in the studio is even more fun. Before it was fun, like when we were working on Gravity, you know, we had like a little, you know, like a living area and everybody was living in the studio together kind of vibe. But this time around, since we're all doing all the engineering and mixing and producing like in-house, mm-hmm. you know, we're just basically, I mean, I was going to say we're doing it all ourselves, but really Tristan's doing it all himself for the most part.
Yeah.
But big props to Tristan. Everything that sounds good about us, just thank Tristan for that.
True.
But because of that, it's just a lot more casual, a lot more fun to just kind of, you know, experiment, and being in the studio doesn't feel like, you know, we need to grind or we need to hustle and get this done perfectly now. You know, we're kind of doing it the way we want to.
Totally. Yeah. And for me, like, I've always been somebody who leans more towards live performance than in the studio, just because I'm more of a performer than, I'm obviously a singer, but I feel like I'm more of a performer than like a trained singer. So growing up, especially doing stuff when we were younger, it was a lot harder for me in the studio because there was a lot of learning curves. So I would find myself getting like frustrated in the studio and not having a good time. But I would still be able to get on stage and have that energy and have that show. But now this time around, I still love performing, of course, but I'm enjoying the studio experience much more again, because I think we're working with just us and there's not like an outside pressure of another producer or an engineer or a record label of somebody, right, you know, putting deadlines. But the nice thing is we actually are creating deadlines for ourselves, but we're also being reasonable that like sometimes life happens. And if we have to push it a little bit, you know, but it's been fun. Like me, Megan, and Joe got together last week and just like song wrote in Joe's living room. And it's just like, we're just having a good time. You know, like we got shit done, but then we just like laughed the rest of the time. The one difference I can say, though, is performing live, we all still love it. But now this much older, our bodies fucking feel it a lot more the next day.
Yeah,
I can vouch for that for sure. I agree. Used to be able to play shows back to back, and now I'm usually in the hospital after some of my shows. So.
Literally.
It's not even a joke.
Mm-mm. He smashed his face open at a show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was the cover of their single, of their most recent single.
Yeah.
But totally, yeah. Like, it's just wild as you age. We're all in the same age bracket, it seems, but... You know, the day after a show, definitely you feel it a little bit. You feel it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Show, yeah.
So we're going to listen to your new song, Repo Jack. It's
Jake.
Out. What?
Repo Jake.
Jake. Did I write Jack? I'm a terrible person.
That's okay.
We're actually going to
change it to Repo Crows anyways.
There you go. Repo Jones. Repo Jones.
So we're going to listen to your new song, Repo Jake. And, you know, that's out right now as people can listen to this episode. They can also,
what?
As soon as they're done, they can go stream it. So you're going to listen to it in a second, and then you're gonna, after the episode, go listen to it more. So what can you tell us about Repo Jake?
The title means nothing.
I already knew
like
that.
Like all Chase.
I already knew that.
Joe, I was just gonna say, you even came to us and was like, hey, do you guys think like we should change the title? Like, this is just a temporary title, right? And we were all like, nah, dog.
Yeah, we're setting a dangerous precedent here where the working titles just end up on the song. And in the case of this one, it's just a crappy movie that was on in the background. And when I was sending out the Pro Tools file, and that's what the song is called now.
So, title aside, when did the writing of this song start, and sort of how did it process? How did it come together?
So I wrote a couple of the guitar parts out. When we were talking about doing new music, I was just kind of demoing a lot of ideas, small ideas. And then ended up getting into a rehearsal space with Hoser, the drummer. And we slapped this song together, basically. We kind of had most of it down. And then it was just a matter between the two of us. It was a matter of just kind of refining a couple parts here and there and transitions, and then gave it to everybody else and let them work their magic.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So let's take a listen to Repo Jake, and we'll come back and chat some more. Song, does Karen get final say because she's the lead vocalist? Does Karen write all the lyrics? Is it more of a diplomatic discussion, group discussion at that point? How do lyrics get handled usually?
I want to say like 90 to 95% of the lyrics are written by me. There have been a couple of songs where I've had like some ideas already, and then I like handed it to Megan and she's like, oh, what if you tried this word, you know, just kind of like a few word placement or things like that. But melody, on the other hand, I want to say like 90 to 95% of that is written by the rest of the band, mostly Megan. I would say, you know, 80, 85% of it, I have to get, you know, the melodies written by Megan. And I think it's just honestly for me, there are some songs like this song. Actually, I did come up with some of the melodies myself. But like this next one that we're working on currently, there's so many really cool things already happening in the song that I get so fixated just listening on those things that I can't find a new melody around them. So I'm always like, Megan, please help me. And, you know, she's the melody queen.
Megan, how do you,
and then I just put my words.
Megan, how do you come up with melodies?
I consider myself a songwriter. I have written music for a long time, and I think I take the same approach that you would to wanting to expand your vocabulary. So when you want to learn more words, you need to read more books, and when you want to know more musical ideas, you need to listen to more different music. So I have really broad tastes, and I incorporate a lot of that into it all influences me. So the melodies come when I hear certain chord progressions and patterns that just are screaming for those types of things.
This song is awesome, by the way. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you.
It's so radically different than the last single you put out, Mammoth, which sounded a lot different than kind of your early work. And I really love the diversity. Was that a conscious choice to write songs that were different, or it's just, that's how the song came together and that's what the song called for?
I definitely think it's just how it happened, basically. When we did Mammoth was kind of that sort of spawned out of last year when we got back together. We, you know, we're like, okay, well, what do we have that we can like get put out immediately? And that was Mammoth, basically, was a, you know, kind of, it was already written for the most part. So, you know, it just came out that way. And going forward, we decided we wanted to, you know, be more collaborative moving forward. And I think that Repo Jake is the result of that.
Totally. And Mammoth, interestingly enough, too, like it was mostly written, but it was mostly written in like 2010. So it was a song that was, you know, brought back to life, resurrected, you know, once the band resurrected too. And so I feel like this song and then the other songs that we're currently working on are really more Chase Long Beach and what we're feeling now, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes lots of sense. Okay. So I have a question, and it might be a little debate between the band, since we've got, I don't know, well, one third of the band. I don't know, whatever. I'm not great at math.
Yeah, we have an irrational number.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's the band, yeah, here.
All right. So, have you all thought about releasing "Gravity Is What You Make It" on vinyl? And would, what do you think about if you did do it? Do you think you could try or would try to? Because I know in the past we've talked about how the track order kind of got messed up because you had things called the beginning, middle, and end, and that,
oh right,
and that got mixed up, or I think even one of them is missing, and it completely. Would you, if you did it, would you try to sort of put it back in what your vision was, or what would be the thought on that?
So weird, Matt. You and I have never had this conversation at all before, like on Saturday.
We definitely did not. This was not pre-planned.
I didn't prompt you to ask this question during the podcast. Weird.
Nope.
So we have talked about putting it on vinyl. I can definitely confirm that. But
are we allowed to?
Fuck them.
What are they gonna do?
Yeah, I mean, they're not even a company. I don't know, man. I haven't thought that far ahead. Down with the system. I don't know. I guess if we legally can, we've talked about it. That's as far as it's gotten. But I don't know. I mean, what would you guys think we would do with the tracks? Because we've never talked about that aspect.
I mean, I don't even really remember, but
I don't either.
Thinking back, it's like, yeah, right. Why is the beginning like the third, fourth to last song, fifth to last song?
Yeah, it's
pretty
like
deep in there
or something. Yeah.
I don't know. It would probably be cool to format it more like our sets were formatted when we were at like our peak.
Yeah, totally.
Pushing that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe go and mess with a couple BPMs if that was possible. Probably not. That would be bad.
Let's make everything halftime.
No, honestly, well, what's your opinion on this, Matt? I feel like
yeah,
one of the things we've been floating around is cassette tapes. Are cassette tapes cool?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Yeah.
I'm also into A-track, so put on A-track, please. I'd be very happy about that.
Oh, you got it.
Yes. And also, I want to say, as the world's biggest fan of LeBec, I listened to that album on YouTube forever until you guys put it on streaming. So if you want to put that on vinyl, I would definitely buy it, please.
Aww.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was never on streaming for so long, and I'm like, I love this album. I have to listen to it on YouTube. I don't know.
Well, no, you...
If that was even you guys who put it up or what?
No, it was not us who put it up. And the funniest part is when we were resurrecting, we were like, okay, we're going to play a bunch of songs from LeBec, and nobody had access to a CD anymore. And we all had to listen to that person's YouTube that they put up. So thank you, whoever you are, that put the full album of LeBec on YouTube.
That's funny. So yes, tapes. So if you put out anything new, tapes... More so than CDs, from what I hear. I hear tapes sell more, and for some people, I think definitely it's a novelty, whether or not they listen to it or not, but they definitely sell. A lot of bands have put stuff out on, especially if you put out an EP, tapes I think are good for that. I mean, I technically have a tape player in my house, so maybe.
There we go.
But
yeah, I mean, CDs aren't vintage enough, right?
No, they're not.
No,
I mean, that's why you got to go A-track for Gary, because
yeah.
No, I don't.
I have Backyard Superheroes. I have my own records on A-track, so it is possible.
But
I was just talking with somebody today, mm-hmm. and CD is actually, I think, the most optimal form of music listening. Like, it sounds the best on CD.
It does.
I'm a vinyl collector, but it sounds the best on CD.
It does. It's
yeah.
Do you guys agree? Disagree? Yeah, I think so.
I agree, and I also love getting like the artwork and the slips, you know, like the whole thing, and like lyric sheets and thank yous. Like, I miss that stuff. But CDs aren't cool now, and they're not going to be cool for another 20 years again.
Well, also, I mean, okay, so like, I obviously listening to vinyl. The one downside to vinyl, immediate downside, is that. You in like 15, 20 minutes, you got to go and turn the record over, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Unless you're one of those rich, fancy people that owns like a jukebox that can flip it for you, but whatever. A lot of bands are putting out the lyrics, but then so when I go to read the lyrics, it's like I'm reading like a newspaper. Like, excuse me, kids. Sorry,
booklet, yeah.
Dad needs more room on the couch.
Go ahead.
I do appreciate vinyl because I like the idea of being able to put stuff up, and a lot of great albums lately have had really good artwork. And I do like that infusion that you're seeing a lot more of between sort of art and music. That's sort of, even within the ska scene, that sort of like art doesn't seem to be an afterthought so much anymore. And I don't think it ever like really was, but it seems more integrated, a lot heavier nowadays. So I kind of like vinyl from that perspective, but don't have a CD player in my car, so if I'm listening to music in my car, it's basically through my phone for the most part. So,
yeah,
or you could be one of those fancy people with a record player in your car, Matt.
Yes, absolutely.
I was gonna say, Karen, in like 20 years, when CDs are cool again, you could like go around and be like, "Hey, kids, do you like Streetlight Manifesto, Sublime, Less Than Jake, No Doubt, Save Ferris, Pop Punk, everything? Well, do I have a box of CDs for you?"
Yeah, I was like, in 20 years, I'll still probably have 15 boxes left. So
that's how many you have?
There's probably, I found four more in my mom's in the closet of my mom's house recently. I was almost done with them. No, it's in my old closet, so we can't blame my mom. I had put them there and not realized that they were there. So I think we probably got like daughter. Yeah. I think we probably got like six or seven cases of CDs. They each, I think, only have like 20 in them. Okay. So that's only like that's a couple hundred.
Nobody do the math on that. Nobody do the math on that.
You're right. I don't want to do the math on that. All right, kids. So the takeaway from this week's episode is Chase Long Beach has a shit ton of CDs to sell. So come to all their shows forever and ever. And buy CDs. Hell, laminate it, turn it into a coaster.
Well, it's already laminated because it's already in the.
Well, no, I mean, like, take the CD out, laminate, you know, the CD.
I see.
Because that, I mean, a square is not. I mean, I guess you can have a square coaster, but.
Because let's be real, we need the streaming numbers.
Yes.
To buy it.
Exactly.
But.
We need your money from the CDs because that's obviously the most direct way to get you money. But you need the streaming numbers for general, like, look what we can do sort of status. I don't know. I guess if you tell people, hey, we sold 200 CDs, that might, I don't know, that might be a record in 2024.
Oh, it could be, yeah.
Before we head out and do Scott picks and stuff like that, you guys got some shows coming up. What can you tell us about shows?
We have a show this Sunday, actually, if you're listening, you know, on Wednesday when this comes out or before May 19th, 2024. We are playing at the House of Blues Anaheim. It is a huge show. It's on both stages. It starts at 4 p.m. It's all ages. Mad Caddies are headlining. Bad Cop, Ukulele Hero. Oh my God, there's just La Pobresca.
A lot of bands.
Calacas. Yeah, I'm like, I can't. So many bands. So many bands. It's only $13. The show is going to be awesome. I know we've teased too that obviously we're working on new songs. So this song, Repo Jake, is going to be part of an EP, and we are having an EP release show in October, but that's all we're going to say right now. But we'll come back with more details of that later, but come on Sunday.
You just gave yourself a clear deadline to.
Well, no, we have the deadline. I'm just trying to be elusive.
Oh, well, now
drop all the details.
Now there's accountability, Karen.
Yeah, that's exactly. You told people.
We need accountability partners from the whole On the Upbeat audience.
It's true. It's like, okay, have you recorded the new songs yet? How's it going? That's what you should get from everyone.
Yep.
I wanted to ask this question, and I know I kind of said but we were going to go into Scott Picks, but I've actually been wondering this. So I've noticed that when people ask like set times, like it seems to make some people uneasy and some people don't like it. What's that about? Is there a thing? Does it bother people asking?
Oh, like when
are you playing? Yeah.
Right.
Is it bad form for the venue? Like the venue doesn't like giving it out publicly too much.
I could see some people saying, you know, well, I don't want you to just come and see me and then leave.
Yeah.
Which happens all the time. And, you know, I don't know. I don't begrudge it because I gladly tell people what our set time is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what our set time is on Sunday.
Oh, it's 7:30 to 8:00, everyone. Oh, so if you just want to come. On the Paris stage. I think that's really the only thing. Like, I don't think that bands. The one other thing I can say is it's really obnoxious when it's like show day and you've got your friends texting you being like, yo, dude, what's up for today? And you're like, yo, dude, I'm fucking busy right now. But when fans are like commenting on a post that you've been or posts that you have been making asking if you have set times, like that doesn't, I don't think that bothers any of us. But I think I do know a couple of bands who get bothered by it, but it's more so that yeah, bands and venues want you to try and come and be there for the whole show to support everyone.
Sure, sure.
So they just don't want to. But then, you know, like for this show specifically, the guy who's in charge, he sent us like all the set times, I want to say like 2 weeks after we were confirmed. So, and that's the thing too. Sometimes you don't know the set times until a day or two before.
Yeah. I guess.
Also 80% of shows run late as well. So
always, always.
So yeah, they don't want to have false expectations. So yes. That's always been my assumption is that they generally will, the doors open at, you know, six or whatever, and then they want you, or they'll tell you what time the music starts. And the, I mean, if they just sometimes I just tell me when the music starts, because I've had places that are like doors open at 7 and then the music doesn't start to like 8:30. I'm like, what the like, what?
Yeah, that's rough.
Like that. No thanks. I'm old, so I don't. I don't. As much as I love people, I don't want to stand around for an hour and a half not hearing music. Everyone go to the show at the House of Blues on, what was the date? May 19th, correct?
May 19th, correct.
Go there, support the bands, and you heard it here, 7:30 to 8. So pay your $13, see a couple extra bands. There's some good bands playing there. So yeah.
There's a lot of great bands. Yeah. So,
but I also get it. It's a long day because what did you say? It started at 4?
4.
So, you know, some people are just going to miss it because they got, you know, work and all that kind
of
stuff.
Totally.
So, yeah. But check out Chase Long Beach and, of course, go stream their new song. Listen to it a bunch. Make a whole playlist of your favorite Chase Long Beach songs. And buy some CDs from Chase Long Beach because they got because they've got a lot. All right, before we head out, of course, we're going to do ska picks of the week. Megan, why don't you tell us about your ska pick?
My ska pick of the week is the Planet Smashers. Too Much Information.
What do you like about it?
I love that. It's a little, it strays from the norm, but it incorporates so much Oingo Boingo influence, and the lyrical content is fun because of the, you know, I feel it's a little bit of a parfait, and you can look at it from a few different angles. You know, is it a rip on social media? Is it just literal oversharing between two friends? And it's just fun. I like to think that it's about social media. But I also love trombone heavy ska bands. I think trombone is the best instrument in a ska band. It is just one of those defining sounds to me going back in the decades of ska. But and so I just love that the melodies that they write using bones.
Yeah, awesome. Let's check it out.
You have a story to tell me, but I'm afraid to even hear of it. Too much information. I fear that you might take some liberties and think you can abuse this. Too much info. We have a fence, and that's great. But must we share everything when you do it? Or am I mistaken and we are closer than I even knew of it? Too much information. Secrets into my ear. Too much information. Good idea, cause your story should never be for anyone to hear. Too much info. You seem amused, and that's not great. Yeah, what?
Yes, I love that Too Much Information album. I agree, it is about social media, and I love that song. And I had not really listened to the Planet Smashers until that album came out. So that's the album that I love by the Planet Smashers. And Karen, tell us about your ska pick.
So my ska pick is Devin K and the Solutions, Keep Dreamin'. And I saw Devin K and the Solutions for the very first time last August. And I hadn't really ever listened to them until I saw them live, and I was just blown away. Mm-hmm. And I've just been listening to their stuff ever since. Like, they're so much fun. And this song in particular I picked because I love how raw and real his lyrics are too. And he just talks about like all of the shit that he's got going on in his life and how hard life is. And this song specifically, I'm like, I just recently had a birthday. I'm getting older. And then you realize, like, oh, this isn't where I had hoped to be at this age. And when are my dreams going to come true? And it's like, some days you feel like you're just going to have a full blown panic attack. Cause like, is it ever going to happen? But you know, just keep dreaming.
Awesome. All right. Let's check it out.
Bring some more. You're not okay. Can't try again another day. When panic starts pursuing you, you sprint until your soul's run through. So low and desperate, things change and that's just that. Nothing more that you can do until they come and bury you. Don't sleep and destroy. Rebuild when you feel like it. Accept that you have limited joy. That'll leave as the weeks become years. Every day you're one day further from your dream again. Sure, that's okay. Can't try again another day.
Love Devin Kay. I didn't get into them until their latest EP that was on Bad Time Fine, a ska EP, because I think they're way better as a ska band than anything else. And so, yay, Devin Kay. And you're right. Devin's lyrics are very, you know, he's very, I don't want to say frantic as in like that it goes nowhere, but they're definitely very now, and he writes with intention, I think
you know, yeah, so. I feel like it's like all the thoughts that are going on in right. his head all at once, mm-hmm. but they are still, they make so much sense, and they resonate with I think so many people, and him yeah. just being able to be so honest, you know.
Yeah. All right, Joe, tell us about your ska pick.
Yeah, I got a song by a band called The Frighteners called Nothing More to Say. To be honest with you, I don't know a lot about this band, but this was one of those songs, or one of the songs on this album I had heard somewhere, and I Shazammed it, of course, and fell in love with this record. Especially my neighbors must have hated me because I listened to like I think the first four or five tracks like on repeat for like a couple weeks. It's got like a old school R&B vibe to it, kind of. And I also, the lyrics are like, it's like, I want to call it like simp ska or something like that. Like they're so sad about love that it's like kind of comical to me. Like all the, you know, the first song is like, I cried. And then like, you know, why did you leave me? I think this song, the main chorus hook is like, you can lie to me, I'll believe.
It's all right. Right. All right, let's check it out. Listening to that when you send it over as your ska pick, that's a good song. And I think the Frighteners have made, they haven't been on the show, but they have made other ska picks for people, so yeah, they're pretty cool. And
I really like it.
So my ska pick it comes from the band Millington. their cover of Good Charlotte's The Anthem. And
nice. We just played with them.
Good Charlotte?
Good Charlotte, yeah. We just played with Good Charlotte. Yeah. Yeah. No, we just played with Benji? Millington, but I didn't, yeah. I actually, I prefer his brother, but no, but I, we just played with Millington, but I didn't know that they did Anthem, and I'm like a huge, like, this is tacky. I love Good Charlotte. So I gotta, I'm excited for this. Sorry, I totally just took over your spot.
No, it's okay. They do it better than Good Charlotte, and we'll listen to the song and then we'll tell you about my problem with Good Charlotte. But yeah, all right, let's
fight.
Let's check out The Anthem from Millington.
Go to college or university, get a real job. That's what they said to me, but I could never.
So here we go. So I loved Good Charlotte when they originally came out. So I actually saw them play with MXPX in Las Vegas when I was living in Las Vegas in 2001. And it was literally their first album, probably their first like national tour that they were doing with MXPX. And I love them. I love the first album. I even
like. Yeah, I was like, I have to say the first album I think is better than the second one, which is a whole controversial fight between me and my boyfriend right now.
Yes.
And everybody's like, you are wrong. And I'm like, no, you are wrong.
I agree with you. It is a better album.
Because it's a better album.
Because the other one's way overproduced. Way overproduced.
So overproduced. And everybody's like, well, the production value is better. And I'm like, yeah, because they didn't have as much money for the first album, but I like the way the first album sounds better. It's more authentic.
Yeah, I think they were more grounded by that time.
Yes.
But anyway, so they were on the show Punk'd. Ashton Kutcher punked them. And so I don't remember huge parts of the details, but basically they were punked into like a some sort of accident where their car was parked and tow truck was in front of them and the car slipped off and hit their car. And I think somehow the tow truck driver was injured, you know, fake injured because it's punked. But those guys were total assholes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They were total assholes to the person who was injured. Like, stop crying, stop your bitching, get over it, blah, blah, like, just nothing but dismissive. I am so surprised that they signed, you know, the right to have that air.
Right, right.
Because they came off like such assholes, and I have never liked them since, ever.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So
I remember watching that show, but I don't remember that episode. But, you know, I got to say, though, too, like, even if they weren't famous, I kind of feel like that's who they would have been either way because like they're Ballmer boys and they like grew up hard and they had to protect their shit. So like, I kind of feel like that's just who they are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, either way, it's not great whether they fame made them.
No, it's not nice. Yeah.
But anyway,
it's a good life lesson. Just live your life like you could be on an episode of Punk.
Exactly. All right, Gary, tell us about your ska pick.
I'm currently in Texas. I don't live in Texas, but I'm here in Texas, as we talked about. So the first thing I wanted to do was listen to my favorite Texas-themed album today when I got here, which is the Holophonics' terrific album, Don't Mess with Texas. I think it's their best album, in my opinion.
Mm.
And the first song on that is a nice 1 minute jammy jam about, like, Texas kind of sucks, but we also really like Texas, and it's called Lone Star Ska.
Let's check it out.
I'm Texas, the Lone Star State, home of oil fields and presidents and everything you hate. And now I know that even though I wasn't born here, I am proud to call this home. Come on, now pick it up.
I think everyone has that sort of relationship with their home state or home city. It's sort of like a love-hate relationship with it. Because definitely there are things I can tell you about California that I don't like. But also when someone says, do you think you'd move anywhere else? I'm like, hell no.
Don't thank
I can't
you.
Say that about New Jersey. I can't say a negative thing. We got the best pizza. We have the mafia. I mean, it's awesome.
Pizza and mafia. What else do you need, right?
That's it, right?
That should be the title of some album.
That's our state motto. We got the pizza. We got pizza and the mafia. Go away.
Go away. We're all full. All right. Karen, Joe, and Megan did have to step out because she has a rehearsal she had to go to. But thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for playing the song.
And, of course, go check out the new song streaming everywhere. If you're in Southern California on May 19th, go check out Chase Long Beach. The headliner, you said, is Mad Caddies, right?
It's the Catalina Wine Mixer, the Cadilina Wine Mixer, technically is the name of the show.
Talk about forcing it.
No, I loved it. I died when I saw that.
That's fun.
And the world of ska puns, I'll take it. It's better than Neoskeleton.
I don't know, man.
It's Skanking Crows.
Skanking Crows, Neoskeleton. That wins. All right, well, listeners, thank you for listening, and we appreciate you. And, of course, until next time,
keep listening to ska.
You've been listening to On the Upbeat. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you get all the new episodes as soon as they're available. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at On the Upbeat Ska. Follow our Spotify playlist, Ska Favorites. It features all the songs heard on the show. Please consider joining our Patreon. Visit patreon.com/ontheupbeatska to sign up today. And thank you for supporting On the Upbeat.
Your car rolled back on my car, man.
And you're being a little about it. It happens.
I'm covered in blood.
And you're being
my head is bleeding, man.
So what?
People don't care. People do not care.
I don't care about your life or your mother.
Exactly. Oh, dude.
I hope you're never bleeding. Do that. Give me one of these. And wait till the cops show up.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And if you don't stop yelling, you will.
Oh.
Want the cops.
Oh my God.